We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Seconds left. Stone feeds it back. Severson a drive. That's blocked by Moser. Severson shoots again. Scores! Right at zero, the puck crosses the line, and now the question will be, was there time left on the clock? Chip set by Niederreiter. He's got Stone with him. Dubois works in, centers it, Stone scores! Mark Stone, the overtime winner, and Canada's off to the semifinals!
World Championship highlights. If you were watching yesterday's game, there's no doubt they care. Those players really care.
Do they? I wonder sometimes about that.
Absolutely. The benches, when they score, there's just no doubt. They are 100%, they are invested.
Is it odd to say, this is how my perception is, that I would feel like the European teams care more than the North American teams? Maybe, I don't know, well, I guess Canada cares about every international tournament.
Yeah.
I do wonder if these guys, like, really, are they upset? Did the Americans sit there in their locker room yesterday really upset that they lost to Russia in the quarterfinals?
I don't know that a loss would linger, but the win matters a lot.
Huh,
you know, there's loving to win and hating to lose.
Yeah.
That's one thing I took away, was watching that thinking, these guys are they care. They're blocking shots. USA loses. By the way, one thing happened in that game, you know, the offside challenge exists if you're offside. The U.S.
Did they have it in the Worlds, the offside challenge?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see
and
one.
And they challenged for goaltender interference, okay. And they challenged for everything.
All right.
So there was a play in the USA-Russia game. You know, they'll challenge if it's offside to get it right. What happens when Russia makes a mistake, brings the puck in their own end? It was Van Riemsdyk and maybe Eichel with a 2-on-1 that might have been developing, and they blew it dead for offside, and it wasn't.
Oops.
So how do you get that one?
Reverse it?
How do you get that one right?
Well, you can't undo it.
Russia brought it back in and turned it over. Van Riemsdyk curls with the puck. They're going in with a scoring chance. Blow it dead. I guess we're not getting that one right.
This is when you tell officials, when you have replay, what do you tell officials? Always let the play go. You can't undo a play you blew dead, but if the play was incorrect, you can always get it in replay challenge. So football went through this. You know, it's the old discussion about fumbles and we blew the whistle, so the play is dead. No, let the play go through. Let the guy pick up the ball and return the fumble, and then we have a replay system to let us know whether the ball carrier was down or not. So I guess the hockey officials would have to know, when in doubt, don't blow the whistle. Let the play go.
So the United States, they lose yesterday. They are eliminated, and they have yet to win gold at this tournament.
I don't care at all.
Yeah, me neither.
You could ask me, don't do instant trivia, but you could bring up instant trivia about the World Championships. I couldn't tell you who won of the medals any year.
I could. Ready? Canada.
They have 26 titles.
Got that one. Sweden.
Sweden has 11.
Russia.
Russia has
Finland would have
26.
Won. Finland would have won at some point, right?
Yes, Finland has two titles.
Oh, only two. We've never won one, so it's not us.
No.
Nope.
Czech Republic?
Czech Republic has 11.
That many? See, I would have thought they wouldn't have double digits.
See?
There's only one other country that has won on here that you did not name. Oh, wait, I take that back. The United States won two of them, but the last one came in 1960.
Mm, long time ago.
That was a good team.
Really long time ago.
The games were in black and white, so that is a long time ago.
Slovakia has one world championship title.
Couldn't
came
care
back in 2002.
Who. Couldn't care. It's funny. I mean, I love the Olympics, and I do get emotionally invested in the Olympics. World championships, I don't know. I don't know why I would feel like really good about one, and it's the same concept. Not all the players are playing, obviously, because the Stanley Cup playoffs are going on, but world championships never mean anything to me. I couldn't tell you how the U.S. has ever fared. I would watch. I don't religiously watch the World Championships. I would watch some of the games. If it's on. Just couldn't care two hoots about who wins the World Championships. I might even feel more strong about juniors. If we win the World Juniors,
it's got a very strange logo at center ice. What is that logo, Brayton? That green thing?
Isn't that the logo for the Skoda or something like that? The car company?
Possibly. That would make sense that it's a sponsor's logo and not the IAAF.
Yep. Skoda Auto.
Okay. Here's a question, too. Brayton, do you have like all-time results or anything? It's never been – is it ever here in the States?
The only time it's ever been in North America that I'm seeing right now, it was in Canada in 2008.
Because I saw something this morning. I think they awarded future world championships. It's going to Russia, maybe St. Petersburg or something. And I thought it's always in Europe. It doesn't appear to ever be in North America. Not that it would – make me care anymore if it's on our soil, but I was just curious about why it's never here. Maybe the NHL doesn't want it here during the playoffs.
Capo Caco got a lot of attention. Jack Hughes looks pretty good.
Yes, he does.
He looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently had a good game yesterday.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
For Team USA. A
couple of assists.
Eichel ended up with, what, 8 points? I think I was reading Paul's article. 2 goals, 6 assists in the tournament, so that's good.
He thought he played really well.
I thought he looked pretty good, too.
I think your point, too.
One thing that he needs to do, there was a chance he had yesterday. He's got to shoot the puck. He got around a guy, got in tight, and he has the shot to pick that corner, and he passed it off. You know, one of the strange things about Eichel is he gets more shots than almost anybody in the league, and he should still shoot more.
Oh, he's got a good shot, too.
He does have a good shot.
Did he shoot more last year than he did in years past? Pull up his stats real quick, because I'm curious, because I feel like he was shooting a bit more often. I mean like 5-on-5. I don't know if you can break down 5-on-5 versus power play.
Just keep adding questions here.
5-on-5. Because on the power play, of course you want – I mean, he's going to get shots on the power play. He's in a
– He had more shots last year. He had 303, a career high in shots.
I thought he was looking to shoot more. And as you said, maybe he can still take it up another level. But I thought he was more selfish, whatever, that he was looking to make
if we're going shots per game,
that's
different because he played 10 fewer games, but he's not going to get – I would say it's his highest shots per game, about 4.5 shots per game.
Okay.
Well, those are just shots. Never mind shot attempts. Shot attempts, he's up about 7 shot attempts per game. And the year before, he was about 7. And the year before, he was about 7.
What are some of the top guys? Like Ovechkin must average, double-digit shot attempts?
I don't think anybody does
that. What are the top guys in the game average? Like, if you're Eichel and you're at 7, say, what is that? I'm asking you more questions.
You just keep asking and you keep firing them.
The top players in shot attempts per game in the NHL.
I mean, Eichel's one of the top.
He should be at the top. That's what I'm saying. That's why I was curious what the number was, because I think he should be at the top. He should always be looking to shoot. Power play in his spot. And also, look, the way the guy skates and the ability he has to beat defensemen one-on-one, he's going to be in scoring position more than a lot of guys on this roster, so he should be looking to use his shot.
It's not just for the Sabres. He's just a shot generator.
Yeah.
That's what he does. I'm currently playing around with the NHL website.
While you're doing that, I liked your point about you think the guys really care about the tournament. I don't, but good for them. But it reminded me of the discussion we were having when Montour got hurt. You know, I know Instigators were talking about this a lot when Montour got hurt. The idea of whether you'd want your team to let their players go over and play in the World Championships because you'd be worried about the idea of an injury. And I know I always felt, I still think players do like to play for their country, whether it's the Olympics, whether it's the World Championships, whether it's the World Cup of Hockey. I'd never get to the point where as a team, that I would tell my guys, you can't play in this tournament. I would always leave it up to them. You know, if they're tired, they've had a long season, and they want to take a month off before getting into their off-season workouts, fine. I mean, Dahlin didn't play, Mittelstadt didn't play. But I would never restrict my guys from playing in the tournament. So when you said it looks like they care, like they want to win, I think guys do take pride whenever they can put on a jersey for their country. And I think it is a good idea to let these guys play in the World Championships, even though you risk, what happened with Brandon Montour with an injury and Tavares, right? Didn't he get injured too? I'd still let him go play. I mean, whatever. They can get injured in off-season workouts. You can blow out a knee lifting weights.
I have the top 10 shooters from last year. Let's do a little instant trivia. Let's have fun with it. Top 10 in shots.
Shots on goal?
Shots on goal.
Okay.
I'll give you these. There are 9 forwards. There's 1 defenseman. There's an awful lot of hashtag busts in this group.
Oh, boy.
You're being sarcastic, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Hold on. Ready? There are 1, 2, 3, 4 number 1 overall picks.
Okay.
And 1, 2, 2 number 2 overall picks. 1 defenseman. And
so basically, we got a group of Hall of Famers in this list.
Well, the list drives home.
All right,
you know, who gets shots?
I'll start off. I'll guess the defenseman with the most shots on goal, Brent Burns.
Correct. Brent Burns, 300 shots on goal.
Ovechkin.
Seventh overall. Sorry. Ovechkin is third last year in shots.
I will guess Nathan MacKinnon.
Number one.
Okay, cool.
365. Very
good. How about Stamkos?
Steven Stamkos is not correct.
Mm.
Former number one overall picks.
John Tavares.
10th.
Cool.
Yep. You're missing one more number one overall pick.
One more number one overall
Austin pick. Matthews?
No. Matthews finished.
McDavid.
Oh, he missed time.
McDavid
too.
Is no.
No.
Matthews
right.
finished 18th.
He missed some games too.
Yeah, this is total shots.
Yeah, right. So he would, yeah. Got to be someone from the Penguins. It's got to be either Crosby or Malkin would be on this list,
well,
right?
Well, Malkin's not number one overall, so Crosby.
Crosby.
No, to both of them.
Wow. Another number one overall guy.
Oh, Patrick Kane.
Number two. Yep.
Ugh.
Dummy.
You've got MacKinnon, Kane, Ovechkin, 1, 2, 3. We already said Eichel was 5. Burns, 7. Tavares, 10. You have a number two overall pick that you're missing.
Landeskog?
No.
Was he number two overall?
Tyler Seguin.
Number four.
Sweet.
Seguin, fourth overall. So MacKinnon, Kane, Ovechkin, Seguin, Eichel. Those are your top
it's
five.
Okay.
Right?
I'd take any one
the
of
them,
the top
five guys and shots are all top two picks.
Mm-hmm.
Number six is Hintland, Montreal.
Montreal. Max Domi?
No.
No.
It's not a defenseman. Who else? Other than forwards.
He's a really nice player. I think he's a second-round pick. Brendan Gallagher.
Oh, Gallagher.
Okay. I was thinking Galchenyuk, but
Burns,
I don't think they'd have
seventh.
Any shots.
Now you're missing eighth and ninth. Hmm. Each are somewhat tied to Jack Eichel. Each in different ways.
All right, so Mitch Marner?
No.
No.
Jack Eichel.
Connected
Eichel.
In some...
His draft year.
Way. One of them is his draft year. I'll give you the hint. I mean, Jack Eichel's no blank.
I always thought he... Oh, Dylan Larkin.
Yes, that's right.
So I was thinking Matthews. You're right. He can't hold Dylan... He couldn't,
couldn't hold Matthews skates. He's also no Dylan Larkin.
Matthews. I couldn't remember which one was the skates. He couldn't carry that guy's skates.
So Larkin finished ninth. Number eight. The only one you're missing? My boy.
Cam Atkinson.
Number eight.
Wow.
There's your top 10 in shots last year in the NHL.
It's not Stevie Johnson. Okay, right.
By the way, Jeremy, you referenced how Jack Eichel needs to shoot more, even though he shoots the puck a lot. Since he's been a rookie in the 4 years that he's been in the league, he is 10th on the NHL's list in that span for shots on goal.
Shots.
Yep. 1,036.
But you, there were stages in his career where absolutely you'd be yelling at the screen like he needs to shoot more. He'd be looking to. Yeah. He's such a good passer. Mm-hmm.
He has not ever. He's had 4 years in the league. He's not ever had a really hot or really cold shooting year.
Huh.
His worst was last year at 9.2, and his best was the year before at 10.2.
Hmm.
So you like somewhere in here, if Jack Eichel plays 15 years, there's going to be a 14% year, and there's probably going to be a 7% year.
Yeah.
But he's been pretty consistent. His 9.7 shooting percentage is not, that's not an elite shooting percentage. I might want to suggest that part of the reason that exists is because no one ever passes him the puck.
Well, that's part of
in a good position to score.
Right. That's part
at even
of the
strength. He's always the one finding others.
Right. Who has he played with and who's setting him up? The best setups are when he's on the power play is when he's getting
set up.
His
best setup man has been Reinhardt.
Right.
Playing with him.
And on the power play, you know, hopefully Dahlin and Eichel, Dahlin setting up Eichel on the power play will be a thing to come for years to come, I should say. But yeah, well, that's his but that's part of the thing about Eichel. You can talk about, you know, he is such a good passer and he's got such value. But that's why I think you'd get frustrated in recent years when you thought he wasn't shooting enough because he's got a good wrist shot. And he's a guy who does have the ability to go to the net. You know, he can take the puck in. He can beat the defenseman wide. You know, I don't think he has any qualms about driving to the net. So you'd like to see him shoot more. But you know what was how many Skinner goals were set up by Eichel this year? Like how many times would Eichel have gotten either maybe I guess you'd look at the primary assist. That's part of him not shooting. He finally had a guy on his wing who had the ability to score 40 times. Let's try and get him the puck as much as possible.
You can actually do that.
Primary assist?
I don't know which website it is, but yeah, you can find a grid who assisted on whose goals.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Like, what was the percentage of, you know, some of Skinner's goals came on the power play, obviously. Although Jack could have set him up on that. I think, you know, so maybe some of the shooting stats would be affected on who's on his line. You know, maybe he has to shoot more, or a year like this, he might have been looking to set up Jeff Skinner a little bit more and feed him the puck quite often.
Eichel had 32 primary assists this year.
So, you know, I don't think, by the way, yeah, so we're not trading Eichel. Just, you know, he's still pretty good. We have these crazy people who call every now and then.
You know who led the league in even strength primary assists?
No idea.
This is funny.
I'm happy you found the stat, though.
I'll be sending this somewhere real quickly. Your top five.
Even strength, primary assists.
Primary assists.
Ryan O'Reilly.
Number five, Nikita Kucherov.
Okay.
Number four, Artemi Panarin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really? Wow.
Number three, Sidney Crosby. Number two, Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
Eichel?
No.
Oh, okay.
Dylan Strome.
Cam Atkinson.
Mitch Marner.
Really?
Get that to his agent, stat.
Wow. Does he just add another $1 million to his price?
Number one in the NHL.
Primary
even strength primary assists.
Wow.
Five ahead of McDavid, Crosby, and Panarin.
That's a good stat.
But the point about Panarin and Marner being
Panarin
there.
Panarin surprised me a little bit because I think of him more as a finisher, not necessarily a setup.
There are a few guys in the league. It's really Marner, Panarin, other wingers that drive play. Gaudreau, does he maybe? The when you get a guy on the wing that drives play, it's rare. And you won't get too many wingers getting center salaries. You know, one of the things about Kaapo Kakko versus Jack Hughes,
right.
Same thing as Laine versus Matthews, is take the center, mm-hmm. because wingers don't drive play. Some do, and Marner does.
But look at his speed and what it can do in the offensive zone, right? If Marner's carrying the puck in the zone and he's creating an offensive chance for the team, he isn't just using his speed to finish it off. He's using his speed to draw defensemen, maybe to cause an odd man rush situation, what have you. And I'm assuming that's, you know, a guy with that kind of speed is going to have some primary assists, because look what he's doing. He's screwing up the defense. He's drawing guys over. Maybe if he beats somebody, someone's got to come over and cover. That leaves somebody else open in the defensive zone, and Marner's able to – Panarin, like I said, Panarin I would have thought is more of a finisher, and he wouldn't necessarily be a guy who could set a lot of people up.
No, he had 22 even-strength goals and 35 even-strength.
He's going to get paid no matter what.
Primary assists. He had 47 assists at even-strength.
Wow.
35 of those were primary.
He's going to get paid anyway, but that's a good stat to add to the equation
and
for him.
Maybe you don't think that primary versus secondary assist matters, but it's a pretty good indication that you are the one that makes, you know, whatever, defensemen. There are secondary.
You're drawing attention.
Well, there
you're
are
a threat.
There are secondary assists, and then there are secondary assists. I actually, you know, sometimes on Twitter, someone will like a tweet of yours from 6 months ago, and that happened yesterday. I clicked on it. It was a Dahlin play. There was a play where, you know, Dahlin makes the pass that creates the two-on-one.
Right.
And then that's a secondary assist that's not exactly the same as when you leave it behind the net and somebody's... So anyway, but Mitch Marner, of his even-strength assists, 87% were primary assists. 40 out of 49.
Yeah.
He's the primary guy.
That's good. But don't you have to be... I think if you're going to have... Maybe this is the Panarin discussion. You've got to be a threat to score as if you're going to have all those primary assists, because, you know, if you're not a threat to score, they wouldn't necessarily – I mean, you've got – right? You're drawing defensemen over, or you're drawing a forward over. They know you're a threat with the puck. You've got to respect that. And if you commit to Panarin, then maybe he finds an open teammate. As you commit to Marner, he finds an open teammate. So you've got to be an offensive threat, I think, because you're probably drawing players over, and that opens up a passing avenue for you. Boom! And I can go hit a guy who's open because I'm drawing the coverage in the zone to me. So
the New York Islanders should offer sheet Mitch Marner for $13 million. They should do it and not even think
twice.
They should give up 4 first round picks to the Leafs. They already are in a spot where they're kind of good. They've got a great coach. They've got Barzal. Do they have the room to do $13 million?
That's why I wanted to bring this up. So I was reading.
I have to say the Islanders, because if I ever say the Sabres should offer sheet somebody, or
it's never going to happen.
Well, then. They don't have any second and third round picks.
That's true.
Marner would be the 4 first round pick threshold, but the Islanders should. A team like,
yeah, look at that. Okay, did you know that the Brock Nelson deal? So this guy he's making $6 million in the new contract. You know, he's now the highest paid forward with the Islanders.
Really?
That's what I'm saying. When you brought up Marner, like if you look at their salary structure, and wow, yeah, he's the highest paid forward at $6 million a year.
They have so much. They have space.
Yeah, that's
they have $49 million committed. That's who should. I talk about offer sheets a lot. That's the kind of team that should do it. You have the room. You have the room. You might just be starting to be good. You can rip a guy away from a conference opponent. I'm looking for the Bruins.
They got $29 million in cap space, even taking in the Brock Nelson contract.
The Bruins have $14 million in cap space. You know, you could. They've got seven tied up in Rask. Whatever. Teams that are good should be using that. And $13 million, do it.
The Islanders do have Anders Lee that they have to re-sign as well, their captain.
Yeah. And
so that'll
they have,
eat up some more of their cap.
I thought that was there another forward, or maybe it was just Lee and Nelson. I thought
Eberle.
There was a third guy. Eberle, thank you.
Yep.
But you look at their contract structures. They don't have a lot of big deals out there. You know, if you look at their, again, their forwards, Andrew Ladd's the second highest cap number among the forwards at 5.5, and then Bailey at 5, and nobody else, everybody else is under 4. And even their defenseman, Boychuk's got a pretty sizable number at 6. He and Letty are their two top-paid defensemen. And then it's really all smaller numbers. Everybody else is under 3. So the structure of their roster and their cap situation is really not that bad. I wonder what they'll do with Leonard. You know, he's unrestricted. He had a heck of a year. What are they going to do with his contract? Grice has got one more year at 3.3. I wonder what they do with Robin Leonard.
Well, they've also got a prospect or two in the goalie system that they're hoping comes over from
I wouldn't, because you wouldn't sink big money into Robin Leonard. I think that'd be a bad idea, and especially if you're trying to save your money for Anders Lee and Jordan Eberle.
But by the way, Ryan Rashog tweeting 15 minutes ago that TSN's Bob McKenzie was on TSN 1260 radio in Edmonton. A deal with Dave Tippett is not finalized yet. He hasn't agreed to terms, and the process still continues to find their head coach.
Yeah, the original report from yesterday was from the Edmonton Journal. So the Edmonton Journal had reported that the two sides had agreed to terms. So this is now an update to that. Apparently, at least from this, there is no agreement in terms for Dave Tippett. So thank you for mentioning that, Brayton. I saw that, and I forgot to bring it up. Let's see. Oh, before we give you a win cash code, big news today. Before we do that, we'll tell you about the golf tournament. Because in 32 minutes and, wait for it, 35 seconds, bidding goes live at WGR550.com for the WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament. It's going to be July 8th at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston. If you've never been there before, it is quite the event. You get a full day of golf. You get lunch at the turn. You'll get complimentary ice-cold Michelob Ultra. There's pop. There's water. There's party tents. There are games to be played on the course. There are contests. You will get buffet dinner and cocktails after you're done golfing. There's an auction with some fantastic memorabilia up for bid. You get a WGR shirt. You get golf balls from Encore Golf and other premium gifts. All that as a part of our golf tournament, and you can bid on a celebrity or your own foursome. Bidding begins this morning at 10 o'clock at WGR550.com. Our golf tournament is brought to you by, presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. With support from Encore Golf, Buffalo's only innovative golf ball company, Michelob Ultra, and Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston. Now we'll get you your win cash code word. See if you can text it in and get yourself $1,000. It is RABBIT. So we're going with RABBIT, RABBIT. Text that to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. You have until 10 o'clock to text that code word in. RABBIT, 72881, your chance to win $1,000. There are four more code words coming up this afternoon with Chopin the Bulldog, and we're playing the contest again next week. So still, a lot of opportunities for you to win $1,000.
When we get back, I have what I find to be an unbelievable story about the Jets. The Jets are...
The Jets are the Jets.
They're kind of... They might win games, but they're kind of a mess right now, right? With the Maccagnan thing.
Yeah.
And then the latest on Le'Veon Bell, maybe you had heard this. I didn't. I can't even believe it. Make a stash.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
the quick story I teased about Le'Veon Bell and the Jets being a mess. There's audio of Adam Gase saying he didn't have anything to do with McHagnin, yada, yada, yada. It was weird.
Yeah, right.
You may think that's weird. This is even weirder. Diana Rossini, ESPN, tweeted yesterday that, I think it's Diana Rossini, Adam Gase says Le'Veon Bell's Instagram posts are told to Gase from Bell before he posts them. So if Le'Veon Bell wants
He's got to run a post by the... Really?
That's the level of communication is that he tells his head coach what he's going to post before posting on Instagram.
You're kidding me.
No.
I don't know if I've ever heard this before.
Right.
That's weird.
That is very weird.
Wow.
Listen, Instagram posts for athletes, maybe that's not for you. I get it. But what?
You got to run it by him.
What coach wants that on their plate?
That's very strange, even by Jets standards.
All that means is that Adam Gase is going to have to answer questions about those posts.
Right.
And most coaches will say, I haven't seen it.
Right.
He'll have to answer for it.
Because he's, in theory, overseeing it now.
He's its supervisor.
That's very odd.
He's Le'Veon Bell's social media manager.
Yeah. It's almost like he's doing the role of agent or something.
Yeah.
That's very strange. Hey, on the topic of football, we are going to the Wester Hotline, and we're going to be chatting with Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, who's with us right now. Mike, it's Howard and Jeremy. Does anybody oversee your Instagram posts?
No, well, they should, but no.
Okay.
Maybe I need to run mine by Adam Gase, too.
Yeah.
I'd be in a lot better shape if I did.
Far be it for us to throw stones in a glass house, but the Jets franchise has got to be one of the, over time, right, Mike, has got to be one of the more confusing franchises in the NFL.
Well, and it all starts at the top, and this is one of the things that fascinates me about the NFL. All the money that is spent, all the resources devoted, all the time expended to craft a football operation with coaches and scouts and general managers and assistants and sports science and analytics. But you still have owners that are going to do whatever the hell they want to do. And the owners screw things up more than anybody. And the biggest problem with the Jets in recent years, you've got people with different agendas. You've got, you know, you fire the GM and you keep the coach. You fire the coach, you keep the GM, you fire both. And, you know, they could really screw this one up if they bring in somebody that just doesn't want Adam Gase. And you got the next year or two with that new general manager trying to get, you know, the foundation laid to hire his own coach. Because every general manager walks through the door with a list in his front pocket of guys he wants to hire as a head coach. And job number one usually is getting himself in position to hire that coach.
I did want to run some of the rule stuff by you, but I'm glad we have you on today, Mike, because one of the things we're talking about is the Bills. And the Bills have been getting noticed in the offseason and been, in, you know, hey, Brandon Bean, look at the job he's doing. And I think some of that is sheer volume of signings will affect people that way. But the Bills seem to be getting a little bit of love in terms of what potential they might have in 2019. And we're talking about whether they're too trendy. So give me your thoughts on the Bills, the pickups, and where you see them going in 2019.
Well, I mean, they're going to go as far as their young quarterback can take them, and we saw enough from Josh Allen last year that there's reason for optimism. The throwing, the running that surprised a lot of people when he burst onto the scene week three with that upset win over the Vikings, diving for the pylon, hurdling Anthony Barr. And I think there's potential there. And I think it comes down to between the Bills and the Jets, which of those two teams really does have a chance to challenge the New England Patriots? Maybe not this year for the division title. But I feel like one of those two teams, once it's time to play the games and we get past all this stuff, because you can say what you want about the Jets, but they've got some pretty good football players, and there's a chance that they're going to be the team that emerges as the second-best team in the AFC East. But I think one of those two teams between the Bills and the Jets is going to be in position to get a wild card berth. And I think very systematically the Bills have been improving the team. And, yes, I feel like last year was, all, you know, that deliberate, we're taking a step back in the hopes of taking multiple steps forward. And that sounds cliche, but there is some validity to it. You know, you move on from Tyrod Taylor, you roll the dice on Josh Allen, and he could be end up being a far better quarterback than Tyrod Taylor ever was, and the team ends up being a year-in and year-out contender. And that's what you want, a franchise quarterback that makes you a team that contends every year. You want to be on the front porch knocking on the door every year. The more years you're knocking on the door, sooner or later you're going to kick it in.
You mentioned, you know, the Jets and the wild card. Sure. I mean, we, as you might suspect, Mike, for 20 years in this city and probably in New York and Miami, you pretty much talk about the wild card. Nobody brings the division title up for discussion. But when you look around the AFC, who else? Let's say the Bills can beat out the Jets. Let's say they finish second in the division and they're in that wild card mix. Who are the main combatants in that picture with them?
Well, that's the thing. There's going to be a lot of teams that aren't in first place in their division that are going to be vying for that other wild card berth if one goes to the second place team in the AFC East. You've got everybody's crowning the Browns, which I think is a mistake. It's premature in Cleveland, but the Steelers are going to be saltier than usual as they try to refocus and possibly even save Mike Tomlin's job if he's in any kind of real trouble after the dysfunction there the past couple of years. The Ravens are going to be a team that is overlooked, but they're the defending division champions. In the AFC South, top to bottom, that division is much better than it was. They were the laughing stock not that long ago. Now they are solid. And in the AFC West, the Chiefs are the best team right now. The Chargers almost took that title from them last year. And who knows what's going to happen with the Raiders and Broncos. The AFC is very, very wide open this year. And it could be that second place in the AFC East isn't good enough to get a wild card berth.
Do you think, it's funny, I want to ask you about Kansas City, but I did have the Browns as my next question for you. And you mentioned, you think people are getting too carried away? I'm all in on the hype with them, too, with Mayfield. I mean, he was clearly the best of the class of 2018 quarterbacks last year. Then they go out and add Odell Beckham. And I think there's a belief that the Steelers are coming back a little bit after Antonio Brown left. Why do you think pump the brakes on the Browns?
Tremendous pressure on new coach Freddie Kitchens, who a year ago would have been on no one's short list to be an NFL head coach. Right place at the right time, made the most out of his opportunity to run the offense with Baker Mayfield, won games that no one expected the Browns to win. It's different to win games you're not expected to win. It's a different thing altogether to lose games you're expected to win. And, you know, last year they started 2-4-1. Hey, that's great. We won one more game than we did in the two prior seasons before this. If they start 2-4-1 this year, it's going to be time to press the panic button.
Sure.
And I look at their first two games. They got Tennessee coming into Cleveland. Everybody's going to assume the Browns are going to win by 30. The Titans are not a bad team, and they're going to be upset, and they're going to be feeling like a team that's being overlooked. And you get Derrick Henry unleashed on that Browns defense, and maybe they could say, what if the Browns would lose at home to start the season? What if they would lose on the following Monday night to the Jets? There's going to be a lot of pressure on Freddie Kitchens and that organization to deliver right away. And I'll believe it when I see it happen. But we've seen teams get hyped before, and then once we start playing the games, it's like, oh, boy, we were wrong about them.
Okay, what about Kansas City? Can you say any of that about the Chiefs, who are so close to going to the Super Bowl, and we know what's happened in terms of weapons they've lost because of off-field issues? What about Kansas City and the pressure on them?
Well, here's the challenge. You've got defensive coordinators that had the benefit of an entire offseason to come up with ways to try to slow down Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes just yesterday was talking about how he needs to learn to be more patient. He needs to learn when to check down and take what's available underneath instead of trying to make something happen down the field. And I think you will see more defenses drop players deep, try to take away that big spectacular play and force Patrick Mahomes to take what they give him and hope that he eventually gets frustrated and throws a ball that maybe he shouldn't throw. But you know, anytime there's a big phenomenon in the NFL, offensively, defenses become determined to come up with ways to counter it. And this may be the toughest year from a challenge standpoint for Patrick Mahomes. Can he surpass, can he overcome whatever these defenses are going to figure out that they can try to do to him based upon 16 games of film that were generated last year in his first season as a starter?
Mike Florio with us from Pro Football Talk. You've spent a lot of time at your website writing about the pass interference rules change, the challenge, the tweak that might be coming after this week's meetings. Where do you stand on the idea of bringing this in first and foremost after what happened with the Rams and the Saints?
Well, I don't like it. I think that they have come up with a solution that goes far broader than it needed to. All they needed to do was adopt the video official, sky judge, an eighth member of the crew who has the benefit of every camera angle that we see at home. Because I think the biggest challenge right now for officiating in the NFL, and really any sport, bridging the gap between what the officials who are on the field see and what we who are judging them for being right or wrong with their calls see. So if you have somebody who is an actual full-fledged member of the officiating crew who is sitting in a booth in real-time communication with the referee, able to say, pick up that flag or throw a flag or that wasn't a fumble, all is part of the call on the field. Replay review would still exist separate from that. This is just a member of the officiating crew who just happens to not be on the field. That's the easy way to fix this, by first making pass interference subject to replay review generally and then realizing, oh, crap, we went too far. There's going to be all sorts of unintended consequences from this, so now they're going to carve it back. It's going to become a mess. And this idea of turning off replay review altogether for Hail Mary plays, whatever they decide is the limit of a Hail Mary play, you're going to have coaches like Bill Belichick who are devising ways to make sure they get the ball in position or they come up with a play that allows replay review to be turned on for that last gasp throw. So you can throw the challenge flag if you have one left and hope you get lucky with 345 Park Avenue. I just don't think we want that kind of strategy grafted onto the game as it's currently played. I don't want to worry about whether or not that offense on the final drive, oh, they got to get inside the 40, so replay review is available for that Hail Mary pass that's coming, so they run a quick out with 10 seconds left to move the ball from the 40 to the 39, so when they throw the ball to the end zone, they can rely on replay review. I don't want that. It complicates unnecessarily the final 2 minutes of the game, all because they overreacted to what happened with the Rams and the Saints outcome.
Yeah, we were talking about the Hail Mary the other day. Like, what is it? Is it the final play? Could it be two plays? Is it, you know, well, when you've got all your receivers on one side of the field in the end zone, is it outside the 20, the 30, the 40? I mean, it just, there's so many things that you would have to determine what would constitute, quote, a Hail Mary play. Is it only the final play?
And you're exactly right. And whatever that definition is, they'll try to come up with an objective definition that is easy to spot because you have to be able to spot it. You have to know when it's on and when it's off. You will have smart coaches who will find a way to fit within it. That's, I don't want to see, hey, there's 10 seconds left and the Patriots have the ball on the 40-yard line. What are they going to do? Oh, they're going to run the ball to the outside and get out of bounds at the 39 so they can throw a Hail Mary that is subject to replay review. I don't want that in the final minutes of a game. I don't think anybody does.
Mike, thank you. You're always busy at your site. The football news is always going on. Well, maybe at least for a few more weeks anyway. But thank you for coming on and giving us some time this morning.
Hey, it never stops, man. Every day there's something. So I appreciate talking to you guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you very much. That is Mike Florio. Always check out his site, Pro Football Talk, every day. Nice place to get all the information around the league in one particular spot. We appreciate him coming on our Wester Hotline. We have a deal of the day for you today. Grab your fork and knife, order up your favorite steak, and save at Scotch and Sirloin. I can tell you, actually, I've been to Scotch and Sirloin numerous times. Love the food there. Love the people who live there. Great place to have a fabulous meal. Anyway, Buffalo's best dining experience for 45 years, giving you $30 for just $17. It is a deal of the day today from MyBuffaloPerks.com. I might do this and just tell my wife I'm spending full money on her. Again, MyBuffaloPerks.com for today's deal of the day from Scotch and Sirloin.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, a couple things to remind you about. The Bandits are back in action this weekend. They need to win to extend the NLL Championship Series to a third and deciding game in Buffalo. They're in Calgary tomorrow night. That is an 8:30 game. We'll have it on WGR. And then Sunday, auto racing fans, we got you covered. Dave Buchanan will be on a little earlier than normal. He's going to be on at 10 o'clock with Fast Track because we have the Indianapolis 500 at 11, live coverage here on WGR, and then the Coca-Cola 600 at 5, also live coverage here on WGR. So plan that, plan accordingly for your weekend, kids. And one last reminder, in about 6 minutes.
Last minute of play in the show.
The bidding goes live for the WGR Golf Tournament. Jeremy is up for bid.
Yeah.
What'd you get last year? Do you remember?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. But I just want to ask. I want to be the worst golfer in my group.
So you can win this year.
I want to win.
Yeah. So you're looking for three studs.
Studs.
Yeah.
Want ringers.
Yeah. at least you're not lying.
Yeah.
So anyone with the last name of Stud or Ringer, stud bid ringer. On Jeremy.
Actually, I take it back. I want to be the third best golfer. I don't want to be carried there. I want to contribute.
Okay. Nice, Braden. Good job. We got Paul Stud.
I don't want to be the best golfer.
Phil Ringer. You
actually, I don't care. We're winning it.
You want to win.
Yeah.
Putting the pressure on your bidders. Just so they know.
Wait till you see the culture that my foursome's going to have. God. We are going to have.
Oh, my Lord.
It's going to be about accountability and.
Oh, my. You're killing me.
I don't know what
this.
Else. Yeah. It'll be fun. We'll have a good time.
So bidding starts at 10 o'clock. Enjoy. Have a great weekend, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.